Hi, this is Steve Ide for the Research Bureau Angle. Within the coming weeks, property owners in Worcester will be informed about the results of the city's recent triennial re-property revaluation process. In a normal year, values would have been assessed and Worcester's tax rate set by Thanksgiving. But the process has been stalled this year as city officials await the results of what is said to be the most comprehensive review of properties in Worcester in almost 30 years. There are close to 50,000 commercial, industrial, and residential properties in Worcester. Their value will be scrutinized by assessors from the city and independent appraisal companies through a variety of new and old-fashioned valuation techniques. The State Department of Revenue will then triple-check the values through field reviews of randomly sampled properties. The work of the city and independent appraisers has been done since January. We're now just waiting for the DOR to complete their review. The city expects that the DOR review will be done by the end of February and the tax rate set by mid-March, after a few weeks of public hearings about the new values. There's very little we know about the results of this review, but obviously, all property owners are wondering if they will see a big jump or decrease in their assessment. Here's some basic facts about Worcester's tax base. First, it's about 80% residential. In the early 1980s, there was slightly more balance between commercial and residential values. Residential was then only 65% of the total. Since then, home values have soared, while the values of warehouses, office buildings, and the like have been mostly flat. There are a couple different ways to explain Worcester's drift to becoming a bedroom community. Certainly, it is evidence of Worcester's unremarkable record of commercial development over the past few decades. It may not be a coincidence that, at the same time that this drift began, the city adopted a dual tax rate, shifting most of the tax burden onto businesses and away from homeowners. But, as is always the case in examining economic conditions in Worcester, it's important to appreciate the broader context. There's really no such thing as the local economy, since state, national, and even international factors play the dominant role in shaping trends in Worcester's property values, labor market, and so on. Financing techniques for buying homes have changed much more in recent decades than they have for commercial and industrial real estate. The latter remains fairly conservative and limited to banks. The housing bubble in the last decade in Massachusetts was a financing bubble, not a development bubble. Massachusetts communities did not add much new stock, yet there was still a huge boom and bust, whose consequences Worcester is still suffering from. Worcester's not the only former industrial city that has become a bedroom community. Lowell, Springfield, and Brockton also have experienced decades of relative flatness in the commercial base, coupled with boom and then bust in their housing values. Another important fact about Worcester's tax base is that it is 21% tax exempt. This is above the state average, which is 13%, and also slightly above the rates of all the other big cities in Massachusetts, with the exception of Boston and Cambridge. But a reliance on tax-exempt institutions should not be seen as a sign of economic weakness, but simply a reflection of how the economy has changed. Almost 50% of Worcester jobs are in education and health services. No other industry even breaks 15%. Nonprofits are where all the jobs are. The three biggest employers in Worcester are nonprofits. And the fact that Cambridge and Boston, by far the fiscally strongest of all the biggest cities in Massachusetts, also boast the highest concentration of tax-exempt buildings, indicates that Worcester's strong reliance on tax-exempt organizations should not be seen as a serious concern for local policymakers. This has been Steve Ide for the Research Bureau Angle on AM 830 WCRN.